The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Wednesdays are for professional wrestling, and that, of course, means another edition of Pro Wrestling Unscripted right here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. I am your host for the evening, the five-star man, Asa Gray, and joining me at this time is a very special guest. It is, of course, the five-star man, Asa Gray. How are you doing tonight, Asa? I'm doing all right, Asa. That's good to hear. But seriously, Dalton has work commitments that he had to do, so flying solo again this week, and it's going to be a shorter one. I am going to dip into some of the stuff we would have talked about last week, and then preview SummerSlam and NXT TakeOver this weekend, so bear with me here, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be in and out, and it'll be pretty quick, and it'll be a good time, so... First up, the big story that we would have talked about last week, obviously, was that on SmackDown, now 2 weeks ago, in the middle of the show, we found out of a number of releases primarily pertaining to NXT. The list of names that were released were Asher Hale, Ari Sterling, I tried to combine those two names, Alex Zane, Bobby Fish, Bronson Reed, Jake Atlas, Kona Reeves, Leon Ruff, Mercedes Martinez, Tyler Rust, Denzel Desjardins, Giant Zangier, Stephen Smith, and Zechariah Smith. And a lot of those names are incredibly surprising. The fact that this happened while SmackDown was on the air, like reading recaps on Twitter, and then... You know, I saw it first from Sean Ross Sapp, who's a name I, you know, talk about all the time from Fightful, tweeting out like, oh, so-and-so got their release. So-and-so has been released. Not got their release, because as far as I know, none of these people requested it. And just, it's wild because, you know, some of these people weren't even there a full year. Bobby Fish, I guess it kind of makes the whole... him losing to Roderick Strong pretty quickly with very little build on NXT 2 weeks ago now make a little bit more sense, but his release is very unexpected. Bronson Reed was just the North American champion, what, like 3 months ago? He seemed to be ready to be moved up to the main roster and has just so much potential. He very quickly became... one of my favorite big men going, super heavyweights, whatever you want to classify it. So I'm super excited to see where he goes. Jake Atlas is someone that they completely missed the ball on. That is someone who could have been the face of the company easily. So that blows my mind, especially with that like heartfelt and very, very genuine like desire for him to be the first openly gay WWE champion. Like that was his goal. And you know, not to be cynical, but WWE should have been able to just like capture that, use that as a PR thing. You know, there's this billion-dollar company who can't help themselves but like trip over that sort of mainstream, the amount of good press that would give to them. Kona Reeves has been in NXT forever. Or has been at the Performance Center forever. Leon Ruff, again, was fairly recently North American champion in that I really enjoyed the stuff with him and Johnny Gargano and Damian Priest. That was a lot of fun. I mentioned Roderick Strong and Diamond Mine. Tyler Rust, who had been paired with Malcolm Bivens, my brain turned off there for a second, been paired with Malcolm Bivens for a while now, but then Diamond Mine comes out and he's a part of that. And now he's just gone. And then the one I think that like probably upsets me the most just because it's the shittiest one is Mercedes Martinez, who I don't know has been cleared yet after being concussed in a match on NXT. So she's on the injured list and gets her walking papers. And I know at this point, it's redundant. Like, there's really nothing else left for us to say at this point. We've had so many of these stories, so many of these surprising releases, and there's nothing to say other than best of luck to everyone who lost their jobs. And obviously, I can't wait to see what so many of these people do next. The world is their oyster, and I'm... You know, both, I know for sure, Bronson Reed or Jonah now has tweeted out just like, you know, he's going to go nuts. Same thing with Jake Atlas, you know, done playing by and someone else's rules. I'm going to do this my way now. Like, I can't wait to see what that does. Also worth noting, a lot of these, I don't know if it's everybody or not, but a lot of these have 30-day non-competes instead of the typical 90 days, because that is what is more... The 30 days more is standard for NXT contracts as opposed to someone being on the main roster. So I don't know. It sucks. It sucks. There's nothing else to say about it. But moving on from a couple other, because this week is going to be a little bit of a mixed bag of last stuff we would have talked about last week and stuff that's happened this week. But like I said, since this is a solo show, I'm going to try to keep it a little bit shorter. Another story that came out from last week is WWE tried and has since dropped the copyright claim on Chelsea Green as a name, as a trademark. And the funny part about this, and this is something that I didn't know, is I knew her real name was not Laurel Van Ness. Like, I knew that wasn't her real name. That's what she wrestled as at Impact. But I didn't know that Chelsea Green was her actual legal name. Like, that is her birth name. And so WWE trying to copyright that is hilarious to me, just because it's like, man, you guys, your lawn is nothing but rakes. They're just stepping on every single, why are you doing this decision that they possibly can? And it's almost embarrassing. This seems like it's the type of, this is the type of like office oversight that would go hand in hand with, you know, not knowing someone's, like, Malakai Black's no-compete clause, or not knowing the status of Adam Cole's contract. Like, there's something, they're running a sloppy shop. I don't remember what the Taz line was, but it, and then they're like, oh, wait, we don't own we don't have the copyright on this performer's name that we had. Oh, we need to rectify that. And they didn't even bother to check, like, wait, did we come up with that name? Is that even, do we even have a right to use that name? But who knows? They at least dropped it. She said that they told her, you know, that they weren't pursuing it, which, duh, I don't think you can copyright someone else's, like, birth name to keep them from using it. So good for her. And she's someone else that is been showing up everywhere. You know, she's on Impact. She made that appearance for ROH. I'm sure AEW's not off the table. You know, she could end up going anywhere, so that'll be cool to see. Fightful, again, like I said, if you guys listen to the show, you know I follow Sean Ross Sapp, and he's a fantastic news source in the world of pro wrestling. You shouldn't follow him, though, because this should be all new to you. Fightful has confirmed that Bray Wyatt's time off prior and his release were not due to quote-unquote mental health issues following the passing of Brody Lee. I talked about it on this show before. I know they've talked about it, and most reputable news sources have talked about it, that the whole, oh, Bray is really struggling with Brody's death, and that's why he's took time off, that was a rumor completely made up by a trash-tier journalist, clickbait style. They make up headlines just to get clicks. So there was never really any credence to it. And the shitty part is it's believable. Like, losing someone that close to you obviously can be a huge mental health strain and cause a lot of difficulty. But that is not what this is. In fact, there are, it was Freddie Prinze Jr. did a podcast appearance where he was and also for those of you who don't know, because it's been a while now, Freddie Prinze Jr., a former writer producer. He used to work for WWE. Like, there was a stretch of time where Freddie Prinze Jr., yes, that Freddie Prinze Jr., worked for WWE. And so he still has a lot of context there. And the impression that he got is because there that between Wyatt's time off and also his ultimate release was because there was a lot of, he would push back on a lot of creative ideas that he wouldn't necessarily want to do. He wanted to have more creative input on his character and what he did, and that was not well received by those with creative control. So, if that's true, that sucks. You have someone who brings in so much money with merchandising, who is one of the freshest things to happen on wrestling television in a very long time, one of the most talked about things, and to just be like, nope, you're not, you know, you won't do exactly what we say. We're not open to hearing your input. That's just ignorant. I don't know. Like, stuff is bad. I'm thankful, like, this first 10 minutes is all bad news, it seems like. Well, I mean, not the Chelsea Green getting her, you know, able to keep her birth name. But there's a lot of good news coming up, so I'm happy about that. But this is dumb and stupid, and I really just wanted to get that message out there that the mental health rumors were thankfully not very true. And then that was really the big things that I wanted to talk about from the week before. Moving on to more recent news, it is reported that NXT is set to return to being a taped show. And I did not have my link pulled up, so give me one second. I apologize. One of the big fallouts, so this could have been starting, I believe this is set to start taping again the Monday and or Tuesday after the takeover this weekend. And let's see, NXT, okay, so I'm pulling from Wrestling Inc. NXT is returning to taping shows in advance starting after next week's TakeOver 36 event, according to Brian Alvarez. Shows will be taped on Monday, August 23rd and Tuesday, August 24th. Wrestling Observer Live host tweeted, "It appears NXT is returning to taping shows in advance starting next Monday and Tuesday nights." He later added, "NXT taping schedule may be temporary, but for sure they're taping several episodes after TakeOver." And part of this goes on... I know I read somewhere that apparently the network, like USA, who airs NXT, is not thrilled with this decision, which it could be why it's temporary, because what they did not pay for a lot, they did not pay for a taped show. They paid for a live weekly show. I have had the same wrong number text me pictures of like a dilapidated boat 3 times now. And I don't know if it's a threat. I don't know what's going on. This is weird. Okay, sorry. But so the network's not super thrilled with them moving away from a live television show to taped, which makes sense. You know, whenever you tape a, whenever there's a taping, results always get out. You know, there's spoilers everywhere. There's not that sense of anything can happen on live TV. But also, this seems to be another step in the direction of the, again, I don't really like to talk about rumors, but this one is just, it's almost gossipy, which again, I don't like to do normally, but I think it's relevant enough to bring up that apparently there is a pretty substantial power struggle going on within NXT right now. And this kind of ties into all the releases because the original story that, you know, had been reported was, oh, this is Nick Khan is responsible for this. He's just kind of slash and burn. And Vince could have overridden him, but he didn't. And then that story has just continued to kind of evolve and update to where now it's like, no, this is these cuts are Vince's call. And he is, Triple H is being blamed for essentially losing the Wednesday night wars to AEW. And I don't know if that's necessary. You know, again, there's no way of proving that to be true. There's no way to corroborate that. I do think that would make sense. I mean, not that it doesn't make sense. Like, that's a dumb thing to say, but it is, for if there's enough people at high enough positions that would fear for their jobs, like a Kevin Dunn, for whenever Triple H and Stephanie eventually do fully take over, that, you know, this would be an excuse to be like, oh no, look, he doesn't know what he's doing. We couldn't even beat, we have the WWE machine behind this, and we don't know, and we can't even beat AEW. But that's stupid and shitty and so short-sighted. I don't want that to be true, but at the same time, like, at this point, who knows? Also, I do think that I read on Reddit, I think, or Twitter somewhere, that from like 2014 to 2019, WWE cut as many people as they've cut in 2020 and 2021. And it's just, yeah, that makes sense. That's a huge number, but, you know, go back to before AEW was, you know, even confirmed, much less airing, and WWE was in talent stockpiling mode. They were signing literally everybody, it seemed like. And now that they potentially could be looking for a sale, or now that, okay, well, AEW clearly isn't going anywhere, then now they're just, they've don't necessarily, their mentality has changed, and now they're just cutting all of these people that they signed, that, and these people that they signed with no real plan for. And also, just like, go back to that story from a few weeks ago of, oh, Vince and a bunch of high-level WWE people went to NXT and they had a great time and everything was great and everyone felt a lot better. Oh, by the way, we're slashing, what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 people in the middle of SmackDown, the same day that we just met with the biggest name on NXT, essentially, to make sure that he re-signs a long-term contract with us that we may or may not honor. Because what if we don't have to? It's bonkers. It's bonkers. All of it is, and it's bad, and it sucks. But NXT taping at least a couple weeks, and again, this may be temporary. They may just be, you know, maybe they want to revamp the, what is it, Capital Wrestling Center. Maybe they want to take NXT on the road, potentially. I'd be kind of surprised at that, though. So, but, you know, once we get more stuff updated, we'll let you know. We'll keep an eye on it. But for at least 2 weeks, they're going to be taping NXT. Oh, I just had a really dark thought of, well, maybe that'll keep anyone else from getting released in that time, but we know that's not true, because I think it was Alex Zane, Ari Sterling, that was like, oh, got fired. Oh, well, here's my match with Kushida on 205 Live airing. Which, if I'm someone who's prominently featured on 205 Live, I would be very concerned. I genuinely think that, like, with the way these cuts are going, I don't know if 205 Live sticks around. I don't know if NXT UK, like, what happens with that? It wouldn't be super surprising to see more cuts come that direction. So, I hope not, obviously. Like, I'm not advocating for that. I don't want anybody to lose their jobs. But that's got to be on the back of your mind. And that's it for the downer news. Everything else, we're going to talk about the upcoming pay-per-views, but everything else is good news. Also, don't forget, like, this week it's Rampage, it's the second episode, but this is the one that's in Chicago. This is the one that everybody is, you know, CM Punk, will he, won't he? We'll finally get our answer on Friday. And I feel like there's too much energy behind it for it to not happen. If Punk does not show up on Friday, that's a big black eye for AEW, right? Like, it's gotta be. Also, I feel like there is a 0% chance that MJF doesn't come out to some Punk-like theme, or dressed like Punk, like with a hoodie up and with the wrists taped with the X, like, right? That's so up his alley. That seems like it would have to be. But now, good news. All sorts of good news. Ric Flair appeared on Triple Mania in Andrade El Idolo's corner in his AAA match against Kenny Omega. I thought that was cool to see. I enjoyed that. I liked, you know, the chops, the stereo figure fours. I dug it. I was into it. I like that idea that, you know, Rick has brought Andrade into the family with him and Charlotte being together. Also, just because I've seen kind of misleading headlines, and I think, Dalton, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry, because I'm pretty sure I sent you one of those misleading headlines, but Charlotte was not at a house show that night because she was backstage at Triple Mania, but she had also, like, told them months ago that she was doing that. She had gotten permission to be there. So if you see the headline of, oh, she no-showed a house show, no, she didn't. She just, they, if they advertised her, they did so knowing that she wasn't going to be there, which is shitty on their part, but I don't think that they actually did. I think people just kind of assumed that she would be there. But Andrade did not win the AAA title, which I was a little surprised by, because on the first episode of Rampage, Christian won the Impact title from Kenny Omega. So I thought, oh, maybe that is the first domino to fall where Omega starts to lose these titles. I still don't think, my theory is he loses them, because I do think he'll get the Impact title back. Potentially, maybe. I need to double check and make sure that All Out is for both titles, but I don't know if they are or not. Because I think it's going to be a, it would be interesting, at least to me, that, okay, he loses the Impact title, he loses the AAA title, and so, like, once it comes down to only having the AEW title, that's when he just snaps and just becomes so relentless in doing whatever he can to make sure that he keeps that one title left. And then that's when you have Hangman come back in and finally fell, you know, finally take out the most dangerous version of Omega. I think that would be, that's the best story to tell, but I'm a nobody with a podcast sitting in a room full of action figures. So let me know what you think. If you think of that, or you think, nope, this is just going to be a slow decline and what have you. Let's see. Keith Lee has revealed the reason for his long absence, which I know I said this was good news. Let me rephrase. I said we were done with the bummer news. The reason he was gone is a colossal bummer, but I'm including this in the good news section because he's back. Booking-wise, we're not looking at that right now. Just the fact that he's back and he's healthy enough to compete is amazing. I'm taking this from Strike Gently on the Reddit post, a little bit of a breakdown. So he had COVID, came back for one match after COVID, got a call the next day saying something was off in his blood, was told it was inflammation of the heart, and he was not allowed to any training or physical activity outside of a light walk. Other than that, there was a chance I could just pass away. He had several MRIs on his heart, and he didn't fit in any of the machines. It became a fight against death. WWE sent him to Pittsburgh to get tested. Almost had to undergo genetic testing. The long wait allowed the inflammation of the heart to go down, to return to normal. Over time, things got better here and there. He was cleared after that visit to try to get back into some sort of better shape. And so that allowed him to then start training to get back into the ring. So he missed time because of COVID, and then, yeah, just, and he didn't make it incredibly clear if this was a long-term effect of COVID, or if this was something that COVID kickstarted or exacerbated, because we do know now that, you know, on top of it just being a very, very dangerous respiratory disease, that it does have long-term effects, and also that it does make other underlying conditions a lot worse if you do contract it and you have them. So that is terrifying, but it's great that he's doing better, and I can't wait to see what else he has, what else he does now that he is back. So congratulations to Keith Lee, and that is truly scary stuff. Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae have announced that Candice is pregnant, in a very, very adorable number of Instagram photos and posts, and it's just super, super sweet. And they seem like, as obnoxious and like evil as they are on screen, it's the same thing with like Adam Cole as Chugs. If you watch any of his Twitch stuff or see him on YouTube, the most wholesome people in the world. So I very, very happy for them. Congratulations to them. Again, selfishly, it's the same thing with like Becky Lynch, of just like, oh man, that means we're not going to get to see her compete and wrestle because she's so friggin' good in the ring. But, you know, maybe they'll keep her on TV at least for a little while, if that's what she wants. Obviously, my enjoyment of a television program is nowhere near as important or should be even considered. You know, let her do what she wants, but congratulations. And then in the last story that I have for us this week, in one of the most heartfelt and heartwarming is the word I meant to say, but I said a different word. Leave me alone. Stories of the week. Fuego del Sol, Alabama's favorite luchador, is All Elite. He had his match on Rampage against Miro. If he won the match, he received a contract as well as the TNT Championship. He lost the match, but Tony Khan and Sammy Guevara came out and gave him a All Elite contract anyway. This is a long time coming. He's a long time mainstay on AEW Dark and Dark Elevation and has really won over the AEW fans just with his heart. And he's also just super entertaining to watch. And plus on Sammy's vlog. And it's really, really nice to see that in a business where there is a lot of really bad news a lot of the time, to have a story that is just this feel good is a nice change of pace. So congratulations to Fuego. I'm super happy for him. He seems like a super nice dude. I am excited to get to meet him at CCW here in a couple weeks as he challenges for the Pure Openweight title. That show's also going to have Marco and Sammy's going to be there. KLD versus Joey Janela. It's going to be a really, really good show. But congratulations to Fuego. That was such a cool moment of just the genuine, because he didn't know that was going to happen. Like they surprised him with that contract. So that's it for the news for the last couple weeks. I'm sure there was more, but that's all I really wanted to fit in. But that's not the end of the show, because of course we do have SummerSlam and TakeOver this weekend with a twist, because of course SummerSlam, don't forget, is going to be on Saturday and TakeOver is on Sunday. But also real quick, before we get into that, I do want to shout out that St. Louis Anarchy is running a show up at Granite City. Steel Town Beatdown is going to be Friday night. If you're in the area, check them out. There's going to be some phenomenal matches. I am very, very excited to, and also you can watch that on Twitch if you can't check it out. Let me pull up their, I believe, because I think I know it, but I want to make sure I have it right, because otherwise I'm going to feel like a dick, because I think it's Journey to Anarchy. Yeah, so twitch.tv/journey2anarchy, and that you can watch that on Friday night, so check that out. It's going to be a great show. They had a lot of challenges thrown their way with Rampage debuting in Chicago, which is not that far from here in St. Louis. Plus, the main event got jacked up because Garcia got pulled by AEW, because he was supposed to challenge for the Gateway Heritage Championship against Jeremy Wyatt. But also shout out to AEW for taking care of that, because they reimbursed Anarchy for the travel that they paid for Garcia. So that was super cool. It's cool when big companies actually like give a shit about independent companies, because without the independent companies, there really would be no major companies. And then of course, Glory Pro on Sunday. That's going to be a really, really good show as well. There's a couple really big matches that I'm excited about. Eddie Kingston and Paco being one of them. No Role Models are going to be there. Let me pull up some of those, because you know what? This is my show and we're just freeforming. Freestyling? That's the word I try to say. No Role Models versus Technical Difficulties. It's going to be I don't know why. I'm trying to read and also fill the noise and it's not working, so I apologize. Main event, though, is a match that I am dying to see, but I've driven so much the last couple weeks. The Crown of Glory Championship will be decided in a dog collar match as Mike Outlaw faces Jake something. Holy shit, that match is going to rule. Like, there's just no two ways about it. That match is going to be fantastic. So, support indie wrestling when you get a chance. WrestleMax is going to be, they got their next show on September 12th in Indiana. And then, of course, CCW on the 28th here in good old Cape Girardeau. But enough indie. SummerSlam, Saturday night. You know what? I'm feeling generous. Because originally when I started to record, I was like, man, I don't know if I want to just give my picks. Because Dalton can listen to this and then counterpick and, you know, do what he wants. So I'm giving Dalton the advantage here. Because for the sake of posterity, and granted, I have until Saturday morning to change these on the Google Doc that we have. But I'm feeling generous. So I am going to issue my picks here on the air. Hashtag card subject to change. Triple threat match for the Raw Women's Championship as Nikki A.S.H. versus Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley. Oh, you never want to bet against Charlotte. Also, the Nikki A.S.H. thing kind of seems like an experiment, and I don't know how happy they are with it. And also, I don't know how long she was supposed to hold this title because she's not a superhero. She's almost a superhero, and her whole shtick is it's not like she's a magically a way better wrestler now that she won the title. She's still being booked kind of as an afterthought. But it's SummerSlam. I'm going to give it to Nikki. As of right now, I'm going to say Nikki gets a surprise. She steals one in the triple threat and retains. Because that's, keep in mind, we've had to change it to who leaves as champion. It's not who wins the match. But this is triple threat, so there's not any DQ. Nikki, it doesn't matter. Spend too much time on this. AJ Styles and Omos defend the Raw Tag Team titles against RK-Bro, Randy Orton, and Riddle. I think this is going to be Styles and Omos. I don't think they lose the titles here. I think they're waiting for kind of a bigger deal to give Omos his first loss. They pin AJ, though, then he technically didn't lose. I hate wrestling. This is stupid. Show's canceled. I'm sticking with they retain. Because I think you get more mileage out of Orton and Riddle feuding than... Because I do think that that's an event, even after what happened on Monday, like, I do think Orton is a snake. That's his whole character for however many years. Can't trust Orton. Singles match, Alexa Bliss versus Eva Marie with Doudrop. Alexa Bliss will win because of voodoo magic or some nonsense. Drew McIntyre versus Jinder Mahal. Jinder Mahal's lackeys are banned at ringside, but Drew gets to keep his sword. And ladies and gentlemen, I have a public apology to issue. Every time that I joked about, well, Drew's got the sword, why isn't he bringing it to the ring? If this is what it looks like when he does bring the sword to the ring, I'm sorry. I was wrong. It shouldn't have happened. Drew McIntyre wins. Sheamus versus Damian Priest for the United States Championship. I am giving this one to Priest. I think Damian Priest wins, and I think he wins the title. Edge versus Seth Rollins. I'm giving this one to Edge. After losing a lot of championship matches, I think this is Edge's kind of... Edge needs a pretty big win, and Rollins is a character that can absorb that pretty easily without losing credibility. Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks for the SmackDown Women's Championship. I think Belair retains, assuming that match happens. There was a story that the status of that match was kind of in question because due to unforeseen circumstances, the match between the two of them at two different house shows got canceled. But then I also saw that they were both medically cleared, so the match should be happening. So just in case, I'm picking Bianca. The Usos defend the SmackDown Tag Team Championships against Rey and Dominic Mysterio. I'm giving that one to the Usos. Kind of seems like they're leading on a Rey and Dominic breakup, which I think is dumb, but it is what it is. Bobby Lashley versus Goldberg for the WWE Championship. I don't like this one. I'm going to go with Lashley, but not confidently at all. And then Roman Reigns versus John Cena for the Universal Championship. And that one, I'm going to say Roman. I think that is a controversial pick,
and it's definitely not a sure thing, but I do think that it's going to be Roman holding on to Cena, because I think they want Roman versus Rock at WrestleMania. And I just don't think it makes a ton of sense to have him lose the title before that match, even to someone like John Cena. So that's my SummerSlam picks. Again, SummerSlam is Saturday night, so don't think it's the usual Sunday start time, because otherwise you're going to end up watching NXT TakeOver 36, which is sure to be a great show. But if you're waiting for, if you're expecting SummerSlam, you're going to be disappointed. Let's see. How do I want to go? Which way do I want to go with this? Okay. Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Cole in a 2 out of 3 falls match, 3 stages of hell match. Fall 1 is just a normal wrestling traditional match. Fall 2 will be a street fight. And if it comes down to it, Fall 3 will be a steel cage match. We're not doing the bet game on this, but I'll still just give my picks anyway. I think Kyle O'Reilly wins this because either Adam Cole is out the door. I think Adam Cole is out the door of NXT either way, whether he chose not to re-sign or if he did re-sign, I think they want him on the main roster. Unless he specifically said, nope, I'm staying on NXT. I'm keeping my Twitch stream. Y'all can't touch me. Which would be just baller. Hell yeah. I want that for him. Because again, he seems like the nicest friggin' human being in the world. So wherever he goes, as long as he's happy, I'm happy. LA Knight defends the $1 million championship against Cameron Grimes. And if Grimes loses, then Ted DiBiase must become LA Knight's butler. I think Grimes wins this. I think that's finally we get the feel-good moment now that he has been cemented as a face. And I'm excited for that. Although the DiBiase as LA Knight's butler would be a lot of fun to see. The NXT Women's Championship will be defended as Raquel Gonzalez defends against Dakota Kai. And if you've listened to this show for a while, you know how big of a fan I am of Raquel Gonzalez. That said, I need Dakota Kai to win this match. Team kick all the way. Let's go. The NXT United Kingdom Championship as Walter defends against Ilya Dragunov. I never say his name right, I feel like, so sorry for butchering that. I feel like he's got to lose it sometime, right? So I'm saying Dragunov, but I'm not convinced. You know, maybe Walter just, they'll retire that belt with him as being champion for 809,000 days. And then what you have to assume is the main event, unless the O'Reilly-Cole match would be, Karrion Kross defends the NXT Championship against Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe making his in-ring return after I don't even know how long, but he's back on NXT. And again, for my heart, Samoa Joe with the win, because then I also, again, think that this then sends Karrion Kross onto Raw full-time. So welcome back, Joe. Either way, I think it's going to be a fun match, and I'm excited for it. So it's a big weekend of wrestling. It's a big couple weeks of wrestling. Whether you're watching WWE, if you're watching AEW, if you're watching your local indie, Impact, ROH, New Japan, there's so much stuff that we could have talked about. We could have talked about New Japan Resurgence. Impact has, you know, just been doing stuff as well. So, but there's only so much time, and I don't like doing these shows by myself, because if you think I'm obnoxious to listen to, imagine what it's like to be me. But yeah, so that's going to do it. Thank you for tuning in. Check you out. Make sure, like I said, Journey to Anarchy, give them a follow over on their Twitch channel. And that's with the number 2. Hey, while you're at Twitch, go ahead and give me a follow at the 5-star man with the number 5. I will eventually start streaming again soon. I want to do Psychonauts because the sequel's about to come out. So I want to finish playing the first one. I really want to get back to Halo because after seeing all that Halo Infinite gameplay, like, I'm really excited to do that. I still have not found a reliable answer on whether or not Impact is safe to stream or not. So that's why I haven't been doing that, because that's something that I really want to do. I think that would be a lot of fun on Thursdays. But yeah. Other than that, thank you everybody for just being here, being a part of the show. We wouldn't be here without you and your support, and you all mean the world to us. So have a great night. Be safe. Take care of each other. Get vaccinated. And we will see you next week, and we'll see how badly Dalton lost at the prediction game. Bye.